Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious to each and every one of us. In those days that how you are being merciful and gracious to your servant Paul and call him to be the apostle to the Gentile and open his eyes that he can see the wonderful things that is written in the law and open his ear that he can hear your voice so that he can write down what you want him to write down and that become a Bible. And how you bless Paul in those days, I pray that you bless us. Especially when your servant explained your word, fill him with your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and spirit of understanding and spirit of revelation. Not only to me, but to those who hear you today. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The title is Man Righteousness versus God Righteousness. Unfortunately, there is no righteousness for men. But the Jewish people, they don't know. They misunderstood God's word. They thought they can attain man righteousness. As it is written in verse 3. Since they do not know the righteousness that comes from God, they sought to establish their own righteousness. They don't realize there is no righteousness in man. Not even in David. Not even in Moses. Not even in Abraham. And that's why in verse 4 the Bible says Christ is the end of the law. So that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. There are two kinds of righteousness. The one on the left side is man righteousness. And the right side is God righteousness. And the Jewish people think that by the law, by following the law, they thought they can gain righteousness. They misunderstood God's word. But the Bible clearly stated that, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, you can only get God righteousness by faith. Faith in what? Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how you get righteousness. And today I'm going to prove it to you. Prove to you that the Jewish people are ignorant. They have no knowledge of the Bible. They try to establish their own righteousness. And they refuse to submit to God's righteousness. And I pray that it won't happen to the Gentile. And what do I call the Book of Romans? The Book of Romans, just like people enter into university, is not study the first degree. Enter university to study graduate school. That is what this Book of Romans is. It's a thesis. If you have no idea of the Old Testament, you will not fully understand the Book of Romans. I remember when I was an engineer at that time, the first class that the professor tell me, say, the difference between graduate school and undergraduate. In undergraduate, the professor give you a formula. You just use the formula, and then you do your calculation, and it will work. But then you don't know how come the scientist or the senior engineer can divide with this formula. Graduate school, he explained to you why we are using this formula. And it's in the same way, the Book of Romans is telling you why. Why Paul saying what he saying. Brother and sister, I want to make sure you learn it and learn it well today. And God will use you somehow, if you have a colleague, is Jewish people, you can convert him. Without this kind of knowledge, you cannot convert a Jew, because they think the Gentiles are ignorant. We are not ignorant when we study the book of Romans, okay? Ignorant people cannot bear fruit, cannot lead people to Christ. And Paul giving us the reason why we believe that Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is God. And he using the old treasure together with the new treasure, okay? A good preacher like Paul, Old Testament is an old treasure. And New Testament is a new treasure. And Paul can bring these two together in front of you. And then you use your mind to say whether it's logical, it's reasonable. If it's reasonable, then you believe. So if I divide the book of Romans and the First John, what do I say? Romans is the book talk to your mind. You have to think it deeply. First John is talk to your heart. Talk to your heart is a feeling. Talk to your mind is a reason. Rational, okay? You need both of it. Because people, the whole world are composed of two kinds of people. For women, they're more concerned about feeling. How do they feel? For men, we have to know why. Why do I have to believe in it? You understand? So if you have both, then you can lead a lot of people to come to know Jesus Christ. Okay? Because I talk about feeling, then I'll write that down. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Because this is a very popular verses. So I'm not gonna explain right now, because I talked that verses numerous times already. And in here, I will use the Romans chapter 10, verse 6, all the way to 10. Romans 10, 6 to 10. You have to use your mind to understand these Bible verses. And that one, you don't have to use your mind. You just use your feeling. God commands to you two things. To believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. To believe in the name of His Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the first command. And then on the other side of the coin, according to the Lord's command, to love one another. Then you'll be all right. Talk to our feeling. He didn't tell you why. Just by undergrad. He just tell you. Using that, you'll be all right. But when you go to graduate school, now he tell you the reason why he's saying what he's saying. Okay, now let's take a look. Chapter 10, verse 5. Moses described in this way, the righteousness that is by the law. I want you to write that down, right beside Chapter 10, verse 5, you write that, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 17. The law was handed down to us through Moses. Where's the truth and grace handed down to us through Jesus Christ? So that's why Paul said that Moses described in this way the righteousness that is by the law. There are two kinds of righteousness. The first kind is the righteousness by the law. Another is righteousness by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So Moses described in this way the righteousness that is by the law. And how did he describe that? He said, the man who does these things, these things is a plural. As a matter of fact, who does all these things, not just 99%. These things mean 100%. The man who does all these things will live by them. If you want to gain righteousness by the law, you better do everything what the law says, or else you don't gain righteousness by the law. And that's what Moses described there. And then, in verse 6, this is the righteousness that is by faith. So, you write that down right by side. Follow this chart. I want you to go home and study. Okay? Follow this chart. You get an Apple iPhone. Take a picture of that. Roman 10:5. In here, say Roman 10:6. Now, what did Paul say in verse 6? But the righteousness that is by faith say. So there are two sayings. The righteousness that's by the law saying that the man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith said, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or do not say in your heart, who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. So I want to stop here. Right beside chapter 10, verse 6 to 7, you write that down. These are all treasure. But Paul and give you a new treasure. I read that one more time. Chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness that is by faith said, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. And then in verse 8, but what does it say? The English saying is, what does it say? But the Chinese translation is, what does Moses say? So it's the same thing. What does it say? That means, what does Moses say in the Old Testament? He said, this word is near you. This word is in your mouth and in your heart. That is, what is this word? This word is the word of faith we are proclaiming. So first of all, Paul picked out the old treasure. What's the old treasure? I would like you to turn to Deuteronomy. That's the fifth book that was written by Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 30. You write down verse 11 to 14. Right beside 11 to 14, you write down, this is an old treasure. This old treasure, the Jewish people are ignorant of that. The Jewish people, until now, they still do not understand that. That's why they still reject Jesus Christ. These are the old treasure. Romans chapter 10 is a new treasure. Paul is a very good pastor. When he preached in the New Testament, he explained what the Old Testament are saying. He is not abolishing the Old Testament. He is fulfilling the Old Testament. Well, I want to stop here to tell you a few things that you can learn. Okay? What's the use of the law? Number one, the reason why God used the law is to let you know that you are a sinner. You write down Romans chapter 3, verse 20. The moment Paul turned around and repent, he knows God's will. That's why he write it down so precise. When you study the law, the reason number one is to let you know that you are a sinner. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Without the law, you don't know that you are a sinner. That's reason number one. Reason number two, Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. The reason why we have the law is to let you know that you have to go to Jesus. 324, you write that down, reason number two, law number two. Galatians 3:24. So the law was put in charge to lead us, to lead all the sinner, to lead us, all the sinner, Gentile and Jews alike, to lead all the sinner to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That's reason number two, we study the law. So in other words, first of all, you have to know that you are a sinner. Secondly, you have to know that a Savior. Go to the Savior. He will save you. That's reason number two. Reason number three, that we have the law. So that you know what the law say. It talk about Jesus Christ. You write that. John 5:39. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 39. You diligently study the Scripture. The Scripture means Old Testament Scripture and New Testament Scripture. I don't care whether Old Testament or New Testament. You diligently study the Scripture because you think that by the Scripture, you possess eternal life. This means the Scripture, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. These are the scripture that testify about Jesus Christ. The law, the prophet, the apostolic writing, both the Old Testament writing and the New Testament writing, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, is to testify who Jesus Christ is. Does it make sense? So in other words, if you read the Old Testament, you should be able to see Jesus. When you read the New Testament, you should be able to see Jesus. You understand what I'm trying to say? Hello? Those are the three reasons why we have to study the Old Testament and the New Testament. In other words, if you do not study the Word of God, you do not know who Jesus is. Right? You claim yourself to be Christian, but you don't study the Bible, you're not Christian. Because faith comes from the hearing of the message. The message comes from the Word of Christ, as it is recorded in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Chapter 10, verse 17. How can you believe Jesus Christ, as far as Jewish people is concerned, if you do not study the law, you cannot believe in Jesus? Unfortunately, in Gospel of John chapter 9, a lot of Jewish people, they claim themselves to be the They claim themselves to be the disciple of Moses, and yet they don't understand Moses' writing. If you believe in the law, if you believe in the prophets, you will believe in Jesus Christ. I prove it to you. You know who said that? A Gentile apostle. Luke said that. Will you please turn to Luke chapter 16? Regarding the story, the rich man and the poor man, Nazareth. The rich man in Haiti, in Haiti, suffering pain and torment, he cried out to his father, Abraham. Verse 27, I beg you, Father, send Nazareth to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let Lazarus warn my brother, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses, they have the prophet, that means they have the Old Testament. Let them listen to the Old Testament. If you listen to the Old Testament, you will believe in Jesus Christ. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead go to them, they will repent. And Abraham said to the rich man in command, If your brother do not listen to Moses and the prophet, they will not convince, even if someone rises from the dead. Law number four. What did I just say? Luke 16. What the verses that I quote? Okay. 27 to 31. This law, if you believe in the law, you believe in what? Jesus Christ. Because the law testifies about who Jesus is. Yet they don't understand these purposes of the law. They thought, oh, they can obtain righteousness by the law. You know what I mean? They're ignorant. Okay? They're ignorant. That rich man is a Jewish rich man. He go to hell, okay? He's ignorant. He's telling Abraham what to do. Abraham said, if you believe in the law, you believe in Jesus. You don't believe in the law, you don't believe in Jesus. Because the law testifies about Jesus. Brother and sister, you claim yourself to be Christian. You don't study the Old Testament. I'm afraid that you are not a Christian. I give you one number five. What's the name of Jesus Christ? The Lord tell us the name of Jesus Christ. What's the name of Jesus Christ according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 16? It's the Word of God. You say, I believe in Jesus, and you don't study the Word of God? You don't believe in Jesus. Same as in the Old Testament time, the Jewish people say, I believe in the Messiah, but they don't study the law. They don't believe in the Messiah. Am I right? And now, New Testament Christian, we are Chinese. We don't study Old Testament, we only study New Testament. But sometimes we don't even read the Bible. We claim ourselves to be believe of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, what's the name of Jesus? The Word of God. You say you believe in Jesus Christ, you better believe in the Word of God. But how can you believe in the Word of God if you don't study the Word of God? Okay, I'll give you five quick reasons that we better study the Word of God. I want you to take a picture of that, okay? Before I take it out. Now, I go to explain what's the old treasure. In order for me to explain, we have to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. Let's hear what Moses said in the law, in Deuteronomy. Now, chapter 30, verse 11. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. In other words, what Moses is saying is, I'm commanding you to do something that everyone can do. If I'm telling you to do something that you cannot do it, then I give you a hard time. He's commanding us to do something, everyone can do it. It's up to you whether you want to do it or not. And then in verse 12, I read that again, verse 11. Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. What is beyond your reach? Unattainable. It's too high or too deep. Okay? Now in verse 12. It is not up in heaven. They say, oh, in heaven is too high. In verse 13. No, it is beyond the sea. Oh, it's too deep. I can't go there. Don't ever say in your heart it's too high. Don't ever say in your heart it's too deep. Let's say how high. And what's the reason why in heaven? Don't ever say it is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey. Don't ever say the commandment of God is in heaven. Moses said the commandment of heaven is in your mouth, is in your heart. You know that. It is not in heaven. If it's in heaven, then you will say, wow, who will go up to the heaven to bring it down so that I can hear and believe and obey, right? Don't say that. And that's exactly what the Jewish people say. Verse 13. No, it is beyond the sea. So that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey? And then in verse 14, no, the word of God, the word of faith, Moses said. I mean, the word of faith, what Paul said. The word, this word is the word of faith. It's very near you. This word is in your mouth. This word is in your heart. So you may obey. Brother and sister, if you do not have the word of God in your mouth, if you do not have the word of God in your heart, you are not a Christian. I want you to write that down. First of all, the word of God has to be in your mouth. Now, let me explain to you. Write that down, right beside in your mouth. You write down Isaiah. In your mouth, you write down the mouth. You write down Isaiah 59. Verse 20 to 21. If you repent, if you turn around, then the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the Savior, will enter into your heart. When Jesus Christ enters into your heart, then he's going to make a new covenant with you. The new covenant is the Holy Spirit that he gave it to you, the word that he given it to you, never depart from your mouth. Has to be in your mouth. Nor depart from the mouth of your children. Nor depart from the mouth of your children's children. From this day on until eternity. In other words, if you as a Christian, you don't even know that God make a new covenant with you, make sure that you have word of God in your mouth. In the Old Testament, the word of God in two tablets of stone. Now in the New Testament, God have the word of God in your heart and in your mouth. In your mouth is recorded in Isaiah 59, verse 20 to 21. What about the word of God has to be in your heart. That is Jeremiah chapter 31, 31 to 34. That in your heart, you write down Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. Let me read that to you. The time is coming, declared the Lord, when I will make a new covenant that's written in the old covenant. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I make with their forefather. Their covenant is the old covenant. When I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant. Broke my covenant is the old covenant. Though I was a husband to them, declared the Lord. This is the covenant, that's a new covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declared the Lord. I will put my law, hey, law, man. That's a new covenant. I will put my law in their mind. Make sure you understand the logic. I will write my law on their what? On their heart. If you don't have word of God within your heart, I'm sorry, you're not a Christian. God hasn't made a new covenant with you. You have no contract. You're on your own. You know, around 20, 30 years ago, when I read this, it changed my life. And ever since then, I memorize Bible verses. I not only put God's word within my heart, it's the first step. You can put God's word within your heart, doesn't mean that you understand in your mind. But once you have God's word within your heart, you meditate. You meditate. Ask God to be gracious to you. Gradually, He reveals His word to you. Then you have God's word, not only in your mind, you have God's word also in your what? In your heart. And then later on, I read Isaiah chapter 59. God says, God's word not only in your heart, not only in your mind, also never depart from your mouth. You know what? If you cannot say with your mouth, that means not in your heart. Because what Jesus say? What is in your heart, come out from your mouth. If you cannot say, then it doesn't belong to you. You memorize it, it belongs to you. You can go anywhere, you can say it out loud. When people ask you why you believe what you're doing, you just say it out. Does it make sense? Unfortunately, a lot of pastors on Sunday, they're preaching something else. And Christians, they are so ignorant. They thought, oh, it's good. He's a good pastor. But you're being so ignorant. The lesson that I give it to you is difficult to swallow unless you repent. Say, I buy that. Then it will be very easy. Read one more time, 31, 33. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declared the Lord. I will put my law in their mind and write them on their heart, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a man his brother. You don't need a man to teach your brother. You don't need a man to teach your labor. Say, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. In other words, the moment you have God's word in your mind, the moment you have God's word in your heart, the moment you have God's word in your mouth, I don't need to read commentary to explain Bible. I understand the Bible. You don't need to tell your neighbor, you got to know him. When you memorize God's word, you know him. You say, brother, you say, Pastor John, this is Old Testament teaching. What about in New Testament? Did the Bible say about that? You bet. You write that down. Right beside Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, you write down Hebrew chapter 8, Hebrew chapter 10. Is the book of Hebrew, is the New Testament or Old Testament? Jean? Book of Hebrew is the Old Testament or New Testament? Hebrew is New Testament? Is it New Testament? No, I'm asking you. Hebrew.
Okay.
Some people say, oh, Hebrew, Old Testament. That means you don't read the Bible. That's better. Give me one. You're confused. Ha, say young.
Are you scared?
So, also I want you to write that down right beside here. You write down Hebrew chapter 8, Hebrew chapter 10. Also, I want you to write it down John chapter 2, 14 and 24. If you have the word of God within your heart, you are in Christ and you are in God. Then God say, I'm your God, you are my people. You have no word of God within your heart, Satan will overcome you. 2:14. The reason why you can overcome Satan, because you have the word of God within your heart. Because man does not live on bread alone, but on what? On every word that comes out from his mouth. Then you become an overcomer. Now go back. Explain the old treasure. I only get 15 minutes left. I don't know whether I should explain it. So I think I leave out the other stuff. I just want to go back to Romans chapter 10. I don't want you to leave Deuteronomy chapter 30. Put your hand over there. And then you flip to the Roman chapter 10. Verse 5, okay? Moses described in this way, the righteousness that is by the law, the man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith said, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Hey, you know, you see the parenthesis there? That is to bring Christ down. Who write that? That is a new treasure from the old treasure. What's the old treasure? The old treasure is who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey. What is the difference between verse 12, chapter 30, verse 12 of Deuteronomy compared with chapter 10, verse 6? But the righteousness that is by faith say, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Did anyone go to heaven to bring Christ down? No. God sent his son to come down. I want you to write that down. God sent his son to come down. Throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus mentioned it numerous times. I was sent by God to come down. I want you to turn to Gospel of John. Chapter 3. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 31. The one who comes from above, come from above, that means come from heaven. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth. The one who comes from above, you write down Jesus Christ. The one who belongs to the earth, you write down John the Baptist. That's what he's talking about. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speak as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven, I want to circle the word heaven, and then in verse 31, from above. From above means from heaven.
The one who comes from heaven is above all. What does it mean by is above all? I want you to circle the word is above all. You write down. Ephesians chapter 4.
Before I want you to say, I want to go to chapter 1 first. Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 1 verse 18.
I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated Jesus Christ at his right hand in the heavenly realm. When Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead and seated at the right hand of God, verse 21, Jesus Christ is far above all. Far above all rule and authority. Far above all power and dominion. Every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet. Under his feet, that means he's above all. Because he come from heaven, he's above all. He's come from above, he's above all. Does it make sense?
I'm not using man's word to explain God's word. Okay? I'm using God's word to explain God's word. Go to 22. God placed all things under Jesus' feet and upon Jesus to be head over everything for the church.
Over everything is above all. Does it make sense?
Go to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6. One God. He is the Father of all. He is over all.
Over all means what?
About all. God the Father is over all, and Jesus is above all. That means God the Father is God the Son. That's why in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, what's the name of Jesus? What's the name of Messiah? Everlasting Father, Almighty God, Wonderful Counselor, and Prince of Peace. His name is Everlasting Father.
Now go back. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness that's by faith said, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. No one ascend into the heaven to bring Christ down. Jesus Christ was sent by God to come down. So that he's over all. When you believe that Jesus was sent by God the Father to come down, when you believe in it, you are justified. Verse 7.
Or who will descend into the deep?
In here, English translation called the deep, the Chinese translation called Hades, Yam Gan. And then the Old Testament say, Hoi Oi, the sea beyond. In other words, the Hades, Yam Gan, is underneath the earth. It's in the sea. It's in the deep. You know what? We don't read the Bible. We don't even know where is it. If you know that, now you know. How come later on, after the millennium kingdom, after 1,000 years, the old earth has to be destroyed? Because that's where the Yamagan is, where the Hades is, where the devil is. What's the reason why Jesus Christ go down to the Hades? According to Peter, is to preach the gospel to those people in Noah's time. At that time, they don't believe in Noah. They do not believe in Noah, that means they do not believe in Jesus. They do not believe in the law, that means they do not believe in Jesus. Jesus said, the law, the Noah ark, witness for me. Talk about me. You enter into the Noah ark, you are saved. You enter into Jesus Christ, you are saved. You don't enter, you do your own thing, now you go to hell. Keep going. And then in verse 7, for who will descend into the deep? Verse 7, who will descend into the deep, into the Hades? That is to bring Christ up. Who brings Christ up? God the Father brings him up. Who sent him down? God the Father who sent him down. And you believe in it, you are saved. You believe in it, you are justified. Because in the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 31, if he come from above, if he come from heaven, he's above all. Above all means two things. Either he is the Lord or he is God. And that's what Paul said. Christ is the Lord. Christ is God. Where does he say Christ is God? You write down Romans chapter 9, verse 5. There are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ. Who is God? Human ancestry of Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Over all. Over all means above all. God is over all. God is above all. Jesus Christ is God above all. And Jesus. Why? I want you to turn to Jeremiah. People don't read the Old Testament. They don't know who Jesus Christ is. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 and 6. The day are coming, declared the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely, and do what is just and right in the land. In his day, Judah will be saved. Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called. What's the name of Jesus Christ? The name of Jesus Christ is the Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. In other words, if I do not believe in Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 6, the Lord is our righteousness. That's why they try to gain righteousness by the law, not righteousness by faith. Does it make sense? Wow, it is wonderful. It is really, really wonderful. You know what? I don't think you will understand what I'm trying to say unless you go home and study and confess your sin. Say, Lord, I don't understand. Could you help me? If you help Pastor John to understand, he's a Gentile Jew, you help me to understand. Okay? Unfortunately, Jeremiah understands the Lord is our righteousness, but they persecute Jeremiah to kill him. then the other people, they don't understand what Jeremiah understood. Until later on, Paul read the Bible and explain to us. Okay? He take out the old treasure and bring out the new treasure and put it together. Oh, now I know. God sent the Christ, God sent His Son to come down so that He is above all, is over all. And God raised Him from the dead. It is very hard to believe, but it is the same kind of belief according to Romans chapter 4, verse 16. The God that Abraham believed, He can call things that are not as if they were. And Abraham is the one who believed God, that who can give life to the dead. If Abraham believed in that, and he was justified, and we believe in the same kind of thing that Abraham believed, like Father, like Son, then you are God's people. Unfortunately, until now, the Jewish people, they still don't believe it. The Lord is our righteousness. I want you to write that down. There's only one kind of righteousness. It's the Lord righteousness. That righteousness become our righteousness. You know who said that? Paul said that. I want you to write that down. 23 verse 6 in Jeremiah, you write down 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. Chapter 1 verse 30, Paul say that. Jesus Christ become our righteousness, our wisdom, our salvation, and our holiness. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ has become for us wisdom from God. Jesus Christ has become for us righteousness from God. Jesus Christ has become for us holiness from God. Jesus Christ has become for us redemption. Redemption means salvation. You know who said that? First of all, it's the Old Testament who said that. And later on, it's the New Testament who said that. And Paul bring out the old treasure and the new treasure together. I want you to put it together. You write down Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. And then I conclude my sermon. Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. Jesus said to the disciple, therefore, every teacher of the law, that including Matthew and including Paul, who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven, is like the owner of a house who brings out his storeroom, new treasure, as well as old. The old treasure is Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. That's old treasure. The new treasure is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. What's the old treasure? The old treasure is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 and 14, right? And then, what's the new treasure? New treasure is Romans chapter 10, verse 6 to 13. Brother and sister, you don't read the Bible, and you think you believe in Jesus, I'm sorry, you haven't believed in Jesus. You don't even know why we believe what we are being. So that's why when your friend forsake Jesus and you follow your friend. But you know what? If you understand God's word, even all your friends forsake Jesus, and I still want follow Jesus. Have you ever heard a song called No Turning Back? No Turning Back. Those other people fall behind, I still follow. I still follow. Everybody say, our Heavenly Father, help us to remember what we hear today regarding the old treasure and the new treasure. Thank you for saving Saul and change his life to become Paul. If his life refused to be changed, he cannot be a noble instrument. he still remained to be the instrument or vessel of destruction of God's wrath. But now he becomes the instrument, the vessel of God's mercy. I pray that you do the same to us. Change our life so that we understand your will. Your word will never depart from our mouth, from our heart, from our mind, because your desire is to write God's word within our mind, within our heart, and require us not to forget it. If we have God's word within our heart, we are in Jesus Christ, and we are in God the Father. We can be overcome. We can lead other people to Christ. When other people ask us why you believe what you believe, we know what we believe. We know for sure and for certain. And we can bear fruit for you. Hear my prayer. Listen to my cry. Remember the work of my hand. And I pray all this in the name of the Lord.